And here's two guys talking photography, Robert and Jim.
Welcome to the Photo Facts Podcast.
Oh, you're going to do
it. I'm going to do it.
You're going to do it? Go ahead.
Welcome to the Photo Facts Podcast. I'm Jim Felder.
And I'm Robert Trawick. As always, I haven't changed my identity yet.
And we have special guest, Eric Bloomers.
How is everybody doing?
Hello, we're doing great. It's so good to have Eric here.
It's good to be here.
Boy, that just went dead quick.
That just went dead, yeah.
You don't have the crickets, do you?
No, I do not have the crickets. But
we're here at Java Dave's again.
Yes, we're at Java Dave's.
In case you didn't notice, the echo.
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 God. The Photo Facts Podcast Barber Quartet coming to you live from Java Dave's in Oklahoma City.
Okay, so we're going to talk about some things that Eric Bloomers is currently passionate about.
Yes,
right
passion.
Now, right?
Well, you know, I'm really looking forward to this. So let's introduce Eric.
Okay, Eric Bloomers is a local photographer.
Correct. Artist. The Oklahoma City local. Yeah.
He is. He has got a great image of his puppy. I'm in love with that puppy.
Wow.
Harley.
That's
Harley,
exactly
yes.
Why he's here is
okay.
We're in love with him.
So tell us a little bit about your business.
Well, I'm a landscape photographer first. So I do a lot of gallery shows and I do a lot of travel. But I also do animal portraits and as well as people portraits as well. I don't really do too many weddings or anything like that. But my main focus is landscapes and fine art photography. My current stuff that I'm working on is actually a lot of macro.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've been getting into really focus stacked flowers.
Really? We're going to have to talk about that.
Yeah. More. So that's another series that I'm working on, but I also like to do architecture with my landscape photography as well. So,
So what else can I tell you? Okay, so he's a really cool guy. He's got great hair. He drives a Jeep.
And he came in with some sunglasses that remind me of a police officer or something, you know?
Yeah, he's got mirror shades with the mirror on the inside.
And they're amber colored.
They're actually multicolored.
Yeah.
They're multicolored.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we get to the meat of this whole podcast, so can you talk a little bit about the macro? Can we, for me?
Yeah, yeah.
So
this is all about you, Jim.
That's right. So what do you use for your, what lens do you use?
I shoot a Nikon D800E, and then the macro lens that I have is actually passed down from my dad, who got me into photography a long time ago, and then kind of, that's how the bug got started.
Right.
But he gave me his old 60mm 2.8 macro.
Wow.
Nikon.
Do you use any attachments or anything?
I do not. What I do is I take the flower and however big it is, and I set it up in my studio, and I get it lit the way I want it to be lit. And then I do manual focus with it because I do focus stacking.
Mm-hmm.
So I start at the farthest point, and I start incrementally just bringing the focus back. And I take maybe 10 to 25 to 50 pictures, depending on how small it is. Actually, the smaller it is, the more pictures you take. Because the shallow depth of field is so much smaller.
Are you wide open smaller at that point?
No, I usually do it about f11. I want to try to be in the sweet spot.
Sure, sure.
I want to make it as sharp as possible.
Right.
So
right.
The smallest ones that I have is it's a little thistle that I took, and it's like an inch tall. And the width around the, the leaves that are around it was probably maybe 3 inches around total. So I wanted to get that in focus all the way through, and it took about 50 pictures to get it in there. And so my computer was just like bogged down.
So you're using special software for
I just use Photoshop.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So
in Lightroom, I do basic adjustments in Lightroom, just very, very basic. And then I find the one that's the most in focus of the part that I want, and I adjust that one, and I copy it out to all 50 of them.
Right.
And then you export it as layers
In Photoshop. So you can like right click it and say edit in layer,
open as layers in Photoshop. Right. So it's got them all in there, all 50 of them or however many you have. And then what I've noticed to do is I will do an auto alignment of all of them, because as you're focusing through, they're not the exact picture, even though they're all on the same, like your camera never moves.
Right.
Your lens still moves on the inside, so it's actually getting bigger or closer or further away depending on the direction you're going. So you have to auto align them and it'll shrink them and stuff like that. And then you do the auto blend.
So Photoshop has an auto align in there.
Auto align and auto focus stacking.
Where's that at in Photoshop?
I'd have to. Automate. So it's you go into like file, automate, and then.
Auto align or something.
Auto align, and then I do auto blend.
So many things.
It took me a while to get it right, and then I noticed Photoshop doesn't get it right all the time either. So they'll be looking at it and be like, "Why is this part of the leaf here out of focus? Like it grabbed the wrong part." So now you're stuck, and you're like, you have all these different 50 different layer masks and everything like that. That's crazy, and you're like trying to find that exact one. So when I do the auto align first, I actually make a copy of those 50 well. So now I have 100 layers, but then I only do the auto blend, auto focus stack on the 50. So that now I don't have any layer masks on this one. Now I can find out which one I needed to actually bring that back in.
So does Photoshop create the masks?
Yes, it does.
And
depending on the image, it can take a long time, or it can take 5 minutes. Sometimes it can take an hour. So
so before we keep on going here, man, I am like really deep down in the dungeon. Does that sound really low to you?
It does, but. You sound fine.
Do I sound fine?
Yeah.
Good.
Just don't talk too much.
So this is going to be all about you. This is Jim Felder's show.
No, it's not.
It's about
Eric Bloomers.
No, because he's not talking weddings. He's not talking naked girls.
Well, it's something different.
Yeah, this is right up your alley.
Okay.
All right. So, anyway. But we need to talk about what focus stacking is and why we do that. Because we have a lot of listeners
that
don't understand that when you go into macro photography, you're not dealing with a depth of field in inches or feet. You're dealing with a depth of field in millimeters.
Millimeters, exactly.
So at f11, where everything would be in focus on a portrait,
you're getting maybe 2-3 millimeters, depending on how small it is.
I just didn't want to go that deep so that we could get to the meat. You know, if they want to know, they can call us or email us
or me.
You know, Eric. Yeah,
I'd be happy to help.
Yeah, so let's just give them teasers.
Oh, let's give them teasers?
Yeah, so that they can contact us or Eric to do this.
Got it. Okay, contact Eric. If you want to know about focus stacking, check out Eric's next class at Bedford Photo Expo in March 2017.
So do you do any... Do any like insects or anything like
no,
that?
No, I don't do insects.
Okay, because they might move around and you can't do
any
focus stacking.
Well, a lot of the insects that you see, they're actually dead.
Or frozen, right.
Yeah, I actually did that with a spider, and
you can't focus stack an insect when it's moving.
No, but I did do a spider that I love. It's a really cool spider. Its eyes and just awesome.
But what you can also do with focus stacking, because it's not just for macro. You can use it in your landscapes as
right.
well. And I've done that before, but you don't take near as many pictures.
Mm-hmm.
You pretty much need 3 to 4, depending on the different layers in foreground, middle, and the background.
Yeah.
And sometimes maybe if there's something special you want to make sure, so you get like 4.
Right.
So that way you make sure you get everything in focus, and then it's a lot easier.
So when you do the you have the auto align, then you have the auto
focus stacking. It's auto blend, I think.
Auto blend, but is it focus specific? I mean, is it focused on the focusing, or is that you doing something manual?
No, there's an actual option when you do the auto blend to do focus stacking.
Really? Gosh, I didn't even know that. Because I saw a guy doing it at a PhotoCon, one of Bedford's things, and he had software, and he was doing demos.
Yeah, I'm sure there's probably more specific software for it, but the Photoshop works just fine for me. So.
That's really cool. I'll have to try that. I have so many, you know, personal project things that I want to do, but I just don't have time to do them. Don't make time to do them.
Yeah.
So, but yours is always like, kind of like personal projects.
Yeah,
right?
It's always personal projects for me. So there's like when I did the I have some images that are up with the Better Business Bureau right now. When they contacted me, they wanted some extra images, and I'll actually go out there and do the images that they were wanting or looking for. So when they gave me a few months to actually do it, so it was kind of nice to be able to. They didn't really have a specific say of what they wanted. They just said, you know, we want some images from these towns and that kind of thing, and so I got some for them. So
speaking of being, you know, really, what'd you say, really nice? It was really nice. What's really nice is that they called you.
Oh, yes, yes.
They didn't. You didn't have to go ask, because I was going to ask you earlier before we started recording, you know, did you contact them to go be able to hang your photos in there? But gosh, they called him.
But why did they call him?
They called him because he's got a lot of stuff out there. He's great, a lot of great work.
My website is also search enabled or SEO enabled. So you type in Oklahoma City and you can just do Google image searches and it'll like my stuff will pop up. Mm-hmm. So it's always nice to have that.
Yeah.
I changed my website like a year and a half ago, and people were calling me from my old webpage, and then I took it down, and I was like, oh, how long is it going to be until it gets back to what it was? And it didn't actually take too long, because I spent a lot of time making sure all the tags and stuff were in there.
Right.
But it was like, I didn't want to change it because of that, because people were finding me that way, but I didn't like the look of it anymore.
Yeah.
So what did you switch to?
I switched to Photo Shelter.
Photo Shelter, yes. They got great SEO.
Yes, yes, they do. And they also have a really good way to do licensing for your images as well, which is what I really liked.
Yeah.
I not only liked their layouts, because a lot of the layouts will auto-crop your images, and it totally makes me mad. It drives me insane. So I'm like, if I can find one that won't crop my images, that's the place I'm going to go with. And it also had great licensing information. So if like a magazine comes to you and says, we have this magazine and we would like to use your image, and you can go to my webpage and you can download it directly there. They will actually put in how many subscribers they have and how big the picture is going to be. And then you can use just like, you can use their basic pricing structure, or you can make your own. And it'll all figure it out.
That's pretty cool.
So
yeah, it was designed along. I actually was on Photo Shelter many years ago when I was doing a more commercial work, because it's really designed as a commercial.
Yes. Yeah.
And then it just kind of started spreading out to be like a website type thing.
Cause yeah, it's great just to have a portfolio on it. I mean, because I love the way it flows. But it's really easy to use, and it's really fast, which is nice.
Fast and easy. Well, maybe you should get like an affiliate code we can pass out to the listeners.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I'll see if I can get one.
That would be awesome. Yeah, we'll put it on the show notes.
Yeah, so, okay. So the reason we're here today is to, I was trying to think of something funny, but never mind. So we want to talk about printing your images.
Yes.
Right? Because
printing is the meat.
I mean,
people take thousands of pictures and maybe one or two of them are good. You know, I mean, that's kind of how it is with me.
It's like
you can take a whole bunch of pictures and you're like, oh, I just came back from vacation and I have two pictures I want to show people, you know?
Yeah.
But it's never, to me, it's never really a good picture until it's printed.
Yeah, you're right, man.
Because something is completely different when you're seeing it and holding it in your hand or seeing it on a wall than you are seeing it on a computer screen or a phone.
Yeah.
And that's how most people see images these days. Just on little screens.
Tiny, yeah.
And when you're printing it, you see so many different things. Like, when you print out an image, it will most likely be darker than what you're normally seeing it on the image, on the screen, because the screen's backlit. Color might be off because you don't have your screen calibrated.
Mm-hmm.
The contrast is different. So the image will look completely different than it will on the screen.
Yep.
So you have to learn how your printer works to make it so you can kind of get it together. So you kind of make your own profiles for it.
Okay, Jim what, and I are actually playing on the board.
I don't want to hear it out of my right ear. I want to hear it in both ears.
Well, I thought if I put me on the left and put you on the right, it'd sound like we're in a... Here, Eric's trying to give us some good information, Robert's playing with the board.
Exactly. Let me handle the board. You just leave it alone.
You just quit playing with my knobs. Okay, so I definitely want to talk to you about this color management thing.
Yes.
Because a lot of people don't understand it. And if they do understand it a little bit, what's a good word for it? They're just too lazy to do anything about it.
Yeah, they're just too lazy. They're like, it's going to be a different on everybody's computer anyway, why matter? Well, at least if you say why does it matter, when you try to print it to mm-hmm. somebody else's, like, say, Bay Photo or White House or whoever you send it to, it's going to look way different when you actually get it back.
Right. Well, so, exactly. And you want consistency.
Yeah. Exactly. So you want to make sure that your monitor is calibrated with the Spider, whatever it's
called. Which one do you use?
I use a Spider Pro. Okay. I think that's what it's called.
Yes.
Had it for a while. I calibrate about every once a month. I don't calibrate it all the time. It says you should do it like weekly or something.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was once a month.
I don't see that much of a change over a month thing. So. And it takes, about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You just let it sit there and let it do its thing, and you're good to go.
And that's just one step of the whole calibration thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then once you get a printer, if you want to print for yourself, then you have to go through the different types of paper and get the profiles for that paper. Then mm-hmm. you have to download those from the specific website that your paper's from. And then even that, you have to... Say you print it out, and you're like, oh, man, it still printed out really dark. So then you have to go in and say, well, we need to bring the brightness up. We need to bring the contrast up or down, depending on what it is. And see if it's got the colors you like, if you need a little bit more red. I mean, you still got to kind of fine-tune it.
Right.
So the first few prints that you do with each paper that you do, you need to print out like 3 or 4 of the same one just to make sure that you get it exactly the way you want, if you're a perfectionist. I mean, sometimes you can print it out and you'll be like, oh, this looks fine. And you'll be like, ah, I'm done.
I think most of us are.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you, do you ever use the proofing in Lightroom, the proofing?
I don't. I actually always print out of Lightroom. Everything, you know
what I'm talking about? It's in the develop module or in the print, or I forget where it is, but it's the proofing.
Well, they have it in Lightroom as well now.
That's what I said, Lightroom.
Yeah, they have the soft proofing.
Soft proofing, that's what it's called.
And they've had it in Photoshop for a long time.
I've never done the soft proofing because I also use the Canon software that goes with my printer. So.
Okay, gotcha.
Oh, well, hang on. Whoa. Let's just hold off there 1 minute and let's just take a little breather. So you're shooting a Nikon, but you're using the Canon printer?
I am.
Well, how did that come about?
It was I was at the
Photo Expo?
PhotoCon in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Not last year. Well, that was last year, but the year before.
Right.
And they were running a crazy deal on it.
Yeah.
And
it was like $99
bucks
or something.
You were pretty much paying for the paper.
Yeah.
And you're getting the printer for free.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I can't beat that. And plus, I won the photo contest that year, so I had extra money. So I actually used that money to buy the printer, so it actually didn't cost me a thing.
Now, which one was that one?
I got the Pixma Pro 10.
That's it. And then I think with, like, you bought that and the paper, and you got, like, $399 kickback.
Yeah.
So it was like, the printer was basically free.
Free. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was insane. It was so crazy. It was, like, the best deal I'd ever seen. I was like, well, I'm gonna do it. I'm like, I don't print that much. And then once I started printing, I was like, I couldn't stop.
Right.
Because it looks so much better.
Yeah.
Now, how many inks does that have? Like, 12?
It's got 10.
10.
The Pro 1... has the 12 inks. It's got more. It's got different types of grays.
Right.
Mm. So the black, So the black and whites are actually better on the Pixma Pro 1 than the 10. But the black and whites you've seen, they look really good.
Yeah, I'm looking at the black and whites, and they're freaking amazing.
Yeah, you can't really tell the difference. So
what size does that printer do?
Just 13x19.
Okay.
That's the largest it can go.
Yeah.
On sheet paper.
Well, it only does sheet paper. It doesn't do roll.
Oh, it won't do rolls. Mm-mm. Oh, I did not know that.
So that's the largest. Even if you had a 13x26, if you want to do that, it still won't do it. It won't do the panoramic size.
How about that?
Kind of made me mad. But
yeah.
Now, why wouldn't it do it? Is there a limitation on the printer?
I don't know. They just never made the drivers for it, or I don't know. Hmm.
You know, because when I used to do I've done a lot of large printing on big machines. Mm-hmm. And there was always an issue with Photoshop, especially in some of the younger versions, that it would only scale up to, I think it was like 150 inches long. So after that, what you would do is you'd figure out the percentage and do like, you know, 150 inches. And then you would res it up in the computer software on the printer driver to 200% to get you 300 inches.
Oh, yeah.
So there was some, like, problems with that kind of issue. And if you hit the wrong button, it was like, crap, we just wasted 150 inches of paper.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, actually, in our previous employment. How many times that happened?
Oh, my God. Tell me how many times. It'd get halfway through a big print and just stop, yeah. And then it just cut. Like, yeah. Oh, I'm done.
Oh, man.
It was crazy. Always stressful to watch a print come out for a customer. It was like, is this going to be right? You know? Anyway.
Well,
my next
hard.
Upgrade will be a roll printer.
Yeah.
I'm going to try. And it'll be when my gallery opens. We'll talk about that later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to talk about that gallery.
But I'm thinking about getting a 24-inch wide roll printer.
Oh, yeah.
Because most people can't do that huge of prints in their house anyway. Mm-hmm. So if it needs to be really, really big, I would let, you know, do my lab do it. But I do love printing for myself because it's like instant gratification.
Yeah.
It's like the new Polaroid for me.
Yes.
That's a big Polaroid.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, it's a big Polaroid, but and it's high quality, though.
Right.
I mean, Polaroids always kind of sucked. But.
Oh, yeah. So as far as the print stuff, I'm trying to think of any other questions. Do you have any other things to add to that?
Well, the paper choice also very, very, very important. Because not all pictures are going to look great on the same type of paper.
Okay.
Whereas you can have a black and white that looks amazing in a really glossy print. Or you can have it look amazing in a super matte print, but you can have one or the other, and it's not gonna look good.
Right.
And same with color. Like for the most part, I think color looks best on a really glossy paper because it just really pops.
It sure does.
Right. When you put it on a matte, it just looks dull.
Right.
And I've experimented on some of the matte papers that I have with color, and I was like, you know, I don't like it.
Well, like you said, it might depend on the image. It may be an image that you want it to look kind of old, you know, maybe saturation off or something.
The amount of papers out there is insane. And if you really wanted to make it look old, there's actual papers out there that actually the white base is actually more of a cream color or to make it look like sepia.
Yeah.
So when you're doing the black and white, the white isn't actually white.
Right.
And that's another thing that you need to look for in the papers is how white is the white on the background.
Right. What's the brightness of the paper?
What's the brightness of the paper? Exactly.
So can you be more specific on the fact that this image may look good? Like you have an image. Mm-hmm. What about that image would make it look better on one paper or the other?
I would say if you have a lot of color depth and you want a lot of contrast.
For black and white?
For
maybe.
Black and white, I would say glossy. So
what about the image, though? Like, what type of image or subject matter, I guess you could say, that might cause it to be one way or the other, better on one print paper or the other?
It all depends.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a personal choice,
It's a personal
right?
choice, yeah. Because right. you can have a landscape shot, and it will look really good on matte paper, but it will also look really good on... It's not always either or.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it is. And then you have, like, the luster paper, which is just kind of a... Meh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm riding the fence.
As far as a glossiness, you know.
Right, right. Yeah.
I'm just riding the fence on that one.
I'm just right in the middle. I'm like, I don't really know. I'm just going to put it on here. So.
Yeah. I'm just kind of like muttering the waters.
Yeah.
So, there's our train.
Yeah.
So, basically, I mean, you know, when we're talking about these things, you're what I would call a more traditional photographer. Not in the sense of being traditional of what you photograph, but a traditional photographer in that you're shooting, you're processing, and you're printing.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing the whole thing. So each of those areas becomes an artistic choice for you.
It does.
So, you know, when we say, well, like I really like glossy paper. Glossy paper just, ooh, it just snaps.
It's so nice.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if that doesn't fit into the feel of the customer's home,
You know, their home could be more subtle colors. Mm-hmm. If you put that glossy print, it's just going to snap and be look out of place.
You're right.
Where you would have to go with like a luster that's mm-hmm. even being sprayed and textured just to kind of dull it down.
Or even print it on canvas.
Or even print on canvas, yeah. Which
and
is
that would really
choice.
Dull it down, too. Yeah.
Right.
So that it's will just also different darken choices. The image, too, by the way. Like printing it on canvas is like if you have a dark print. I learned the hard way by printing out a nice big 24 by 36 canvas, and it's a dark print. And I'm like, get it back, and I'm like, ooh, that's way too dark
because it kind of muddies it up. Kind
of, oh, totally, it totally lost all of it. And I was like, I have it up in my house right now, but I'm like, I keep looking at it, going, I need to get that reprinted.
Mm-hmm. Is it really dark?
It's really dark.
Okay, because I have a way to save that
on a canvas.
Uh huh.
I'll have to talk to you later about that.
Oh no, I'll tell you now. It's pretty cool. And I'm going to tell Jim this because, you know, Robert's
spray
got
with
a lot
Clorox?
Of... No. Robert's got a lot of tricks up his sleeves. So what you're going to do is you're going to go get a piece of opaque, thin plexiglass that will fit on the inside frame of the canvas.
Well, it's mounted... The canvas isn't like a traditional canvas wrap. It's mounted on board, so I can put it on the frame.
Oh, it's on board.
Yeah.
Oh. Because I was going to say, if it's a traditional canvas... You take the opaque, milky white plexiglass, really thin.
Mm-hmm.
You take off the back. You put that inside there, and you put in a whole bunch of Christmas lights, and you plug them in.
Oh, that would have been
and
awesome.
And what it does is just basically like lighten up from the back a little bit and kind of give it a little bit of glow.
Oh, that would be perfect.
And most people don't notice that it's being backlit when you have a front light on it as well, and it kind of balances out the darkness.
The cool part about this picture, before... We kind of move some things around in the house, but it's a picture of my former dog, Esteban, a little chihuahua. He was sitting on a little chair in the Skirvin. We took him over there, and the sun was just had a beam that was coming right onto him.
Oh.
So it was just he lit totally natural light, but it looked like it was lit as well, which was cool. And this really cool ornate chair. And the chair was really dark. So, you know, I got it printed up. I'm like, this looks great. And we had a little lamp that was like right below it, and it looked like the lamp was lighting Esteban, which was actually pretty cool. But now we move things around, there's no light on it, and it just looks like a muddy black background now.
I think you need to move it back. You need to put Esteban in the powder room.
It's not that big of a powder room.
Well, we were talking about his powder room earlier, and it's obviously bigger than my living room, so.
Oh.
He's got a TV in his powder room.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, he just upgraded to a 42-inch.
I wish.
Well, I want to talk about this the whole artist thing because, you know, our listeners range from the entry-level photographer to the professional. And Jim and I are slightly, like, out of the box with the rest of the podcast or the rest of the world in photography. You have a full-time job.
I do.
I was going to ask that earlier. I forgot.
Yeah, my full-time job is I do IT, which, you know, that's a lot of photographers do IT.
Yeah, I
think it's because of Photoshop. It kind of comes easier to people in IT, you know, working with computers and stuff like that. So the whole editing process is more intuitive for us. But I work over at the Health Science Center just right down the street. So.
Yeah, but okay, so in your mind, I mean, are you working on an exit plan?
Totally.
Is it in the back of your mind, you're like, oh, my God, I hate this job. I want to just be a full-time photographer. Oh, screw this.
It's been that way for a while, and that's what the gallery is going to be doing for me.
But you seem like a really happy guy, and I feel that a photographer, it's like being pregnant. Either you are or you aren't. It doesn't make a difference whether you have a full-time job
or
if you do it full-time. It doesn't make a difference. Right. You're a photographer. You're an artist. And obviously... Having a full-time job as an IT tech, you're pretty damn successful on this photography thing. So it must be working for you.
It does. The thing that's nice about having a computer job is that I can also, you know, during downtimes, I have times to research things as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I will, you know, on work time, you know, look at tutorials and stuff like that. So I'm constantly learning. That's like my... Once I caught the bug about in 2001, that's when I really put the pedal to the metal on it, and it just started sopping up everything that I could see, and just it just went crazy, and so I tell people, I'm like, you just can't be lazy when it comes to photography. You have to learn. You have to keep seeing the same things over and over again, maybe by different people, and it will sink in finally, you know, as far as like what compositions are good, how to do certain, you know, luminosity masks and stuff like that in Photoshop. And,
yeah.
And all these different little tricks and stuff like that you can find on the web, and most of it is for free.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
There's so many great educational opportunities out there for free, as long as you put the time in to actually watch them or listen to them or read them.
Right. And there's a lot of them out there also that are very inexpensive.
Oh, I mean,
you have a wide range of lunatic, which we didn't have that before the internet was widespread.
No, no, there was nothing like that. You had your photography magazines that my dad would always get, and they'd be always, you know, all over the place in the house, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to read those anymore.
Yeah. Just want to flip and look at the pictures.
Like, yeah, exactly. And my, you know, it took a long time for the bug to really catch on for me, but my dad was always there with a camera throughout my entire life, and now it's kind of role reversal, which is kind of funny. Mm. So now I'm the one taking pictures, and now I'm not the one in front of the camera anymore. I'm the one behind the camera, and I don't like my picture taken anymore.
Oh my God, that's funny.
Well, it was a real, very, very nice print in there of you.
Yeah, I took that was a self shot. I did that myself. So
right,
that is absolutely crazy. It's awesome. It's awesome to see someone succeed in their passion and know that they have to. I mean, so you do it all the time. So what do you do for a vacation? Do you ever have a vacation as a non-photographer?
Actually, I do. We went to Belize this year.
Yes, I knew that already. That was a leading question.
But that was an interesting vacation because we went to a resort, and usually we don't really do the resort thing. We usually like rent a house and we kind of just kind of do our own thing. Mm-hmm. But this was a resort and it was really nice. It was super relaxing. I have one picture and I'm not even sure I would even show it to too many people from that whole vacation. Mm-hmm. So the most part, it was just relaxing, beach, pool, drinking, you know, all that kind of stuff that you'd normally do at a resort.
Well, Jim and I have this conversation all the time because I'm like 100% turned on photography. It's hard for me to turn it off.
It depends on where you go. Like if I'm in a
not for him,
not for me.
For me, I need to be in the place that would really bring out the photography for me. I don't necessarily go searching for it if I don't immediately see it. Let me put it that way.
So if you don't find it, you don't go looking for it.
I don't. And then I just kind of I'm like, oh, I'm here to relax anyway, so I'll just do that. Or if I'm with a lot of family or some friends or whatever, they don't want to wait for me. Because sometimes it can take a while to take a shot.
Yeah.
Or they don't want to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go catch the sunrise. Yeah. Or
freaking lazy or family.
Like, they do the they schedule dinners right at sunrise or sunset. And you're like, and you're outside and you're eating dinner going,
yeah,
man, that's beautiful.
Right.
And I'm in here.
Yes. And you look at your family with disgust, like, Wyatt, I do not belong to you.
I got a great, okay, so my husband got, it was his birthday when we were in Lake Tahoe recently, and we were at Edgewood restaurant, it was absolutely beautiful, and the sunset was amazing, and I run outside and take a picture with my cell phone, and that's the only thing I could do.
Right, yeah, you have no choice.
I have no choice, I didn't have my camera with me.
It's his day, you're screwed.
The best camera is the one you have with you.
Exactly.
Well, that is awesome, which we actually had your husband on the show.
You did, yeah.
Over
yeah.
Imogen. We had Rocky.
Yep.
We actually wanted you, but we had to take Rocky instead.
Yep.
Well, he ran the race. I didn't run the race that day.
That's okay. You still could have talked about it.
Yeah.
And I remember that, and you're like, I'm just going to send Rocky down there.
Yeah.
So he comes down, he's like, oh, don't hug me. I'm all sweaty. I'm like, I don't care, dude. I'm good. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was good.
I think he was very excited. So this is kind of a podcast long time coming.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Very much.
To kind of wrap up the couple. I think that was like totally cool.
Was that 2 years ago?
No, that was just in January.
It was just in January.
Okay.
Yeah. Just January when we're in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was Atlanta.
Right. Yeah.
Which is really good. So, you know, along that lead-in now for the PPA and interviewing mm-hmm. Rocky. So as an artist, because, you know, you're an artist. That's what your genre is for your photography.
Yeah.
Is you're going to have a gallery opening, you're putting your images up. Do you feel that this is a good direction for the PPA in this copyright protection legislation that we have going on?
I do. I do think that's a good direction because people steal my photos from time to time. And it's like, it's hard to know what to do in those situations. And with PPA, they can they have guidelines on tell you what to do and how to get your images copyrighted and sent into the
copyright office, registrar, or whatever it's called.
And they tell you exactly how to do it, and you can do it in like batches. Yeah. So you can do like a huge long series. You can even like dump your whole 2015 year for like $20.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's so like you do thumbnails on a disc or something like that, whatever they have going on.
So that way it protects you if somebody steals your image and then uses it for their, you know, commercial gain.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get money back, which is nice because you can sue them, you know.
Yeah. Right. And right now the way the laws are set up is that's a federal protection. Mm-hmm. So you would have to sue them in federal court. So with the new legislation coming out, the PPA, I mean, it's like right now, I think I just read a PPA email that came out that they just did a session break.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's going to kind of roll back out in September. And we have David Truss that's going to be on the air to talk about it probably in another 2 or 3 weeks. He's supposed to be on there before I get on his schedule. The legislation will allow you to file copyright infringement in small claims court.
So let me locally. Ask you that. So,
nice.
So being small That's claims, new. I guess that just means it would be easier to take someone to court in small claims. Is that?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. And there's a limitation, I think, of $3,000 to $5,000. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, if you were like taking Nike to court, obviously you would do a bigger court. Yeah. But if it was like somebody in your local business stolen your images and then put it on their wall in their their business, you could take them to court for that.
Right. And it's going to be a lot easier for you as a small business owner because trying to take someone to federal court is, I mean, if you go up against a big company, they're like, yeah, go ahead, take us to court. We got lawyers already.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to lose your ass when you go up to the federal court. But now having the small business claims court where you can go right down here to the courthouse and file a claim, you know, that puts pressure on the other person, like, I don't really want to go to court. Let's just go ahead and settle this.
Because a lot of the images that get stolen from me are images of Oklahoma City.
Mm. Yeah.
So, and it's just like, and all of a sudden you'll be, you know, surfing Facebook, and there'll be like an event, and then like, why is that event using my picture as their Facebook, you know,
cover? Oh, wow.
And I'm like, they just stole it from the internet, and then they cropped out my name at the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Does that like just really piss
it's
you off?
And, yeah, and it does. And I'm like, at least ask.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like for something like that. I mean, I'm not going to charge you probably anything to put it on Facebook as far as that goes. You know,
right.
But at least ask. Don't just steal it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have common courtesy. So, do you use any software to try and find people that may be using your images?
I've gone into Google. I use Google Images. That's really the only one I've ever done where you can actually drag and drop your image into Google and it will actually search Google for your image.
Right. It's like a reverse image search.
Yes.
You're giving it the picture, and it's going to see what is similar based on colors,
and
it
does pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so I found one that I had been playing around with, and maybe I'm actually taking notes right now so I can put some stuff in the show notes. It's called copypants.com. Hmm.
Okay.
Okay? So copypants.com, you link your social media accounts to it, and it looks for copies of your photographs on the internet because that's how most people
That's are how most people
steal.
Share. Exactly.
You're going to share your images. Someone's going to see it over in Japan, wherever the case may be, and say, oh, I like this new image. I'm going to grab it. Okay, that was really bad.
Don't do that.
I'm a horrible.
I just, you know, I don't want to offend anybody. So.
Offend anybody? No, I want to offend everybody.
Okay.
I guess I could do Spanish. Oh, wee wee.
Spanish.
Okay, I was close.
Spanish, that was French?
That was French, but, you know, hey, I'm French, Spanish, Scottish, who knows.
Okay.
But that copy pants, give that a try.
I definitely will.
I've hooked up just a couple of my accounts on the free one, and it's amazing on how many times it has found my image on other sites. The problem is most of the time it's me. Like I put it on like a wedding, you know, bride thing. They're like, oh, we found your image on brides.com. I'm like, holy crap, they stole it. I'm going to sue them. Girl's like, oh, that's my profile picture.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fun. Cool. All right, Jim, what else? What else you got for me?
I'm blank.
No, wait.
No, he asked me that and then he's going to, okay, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to say wait because when you talked about his new gallery.
That's
I
want
to hear about that.
Yeah. So
okay, so there's this new development that's going to be in the Paseo. It's called Pueblo on the Paseo. It's right behind where Paseo Grill is, in that vacant lot over there. Mm-hmm. That's where it's going to be. And there's going to be two separate buildings in the front, a little courtyard, and then studios in the back for artists. And I'm going to have one of the studios in the back. It's a small space, probably about 390 square feet. But it's going to be a gallery, and I'll be able to do a little bit of shooting in there, you know, like headshots or whatever.
Because
The builder is actually going to build me a movable wall in the middle of the gallery.
Cool.
So that I can put prints on it and then move it out of the way when I don't need it.
Right, because there's the art paseo. Is it like on Friday
or
something?
Friday art walk.
Yeah, Friday's art walk. So you want to like get that baby out there.
Exactly. And so it's going to have a variety of prints and sizes of my landscape work, and it's also going to be, I'm going to do a theme every month so that it'll bring people in all every
something new to look at every time.
And I'm also thinking about I mean, obviously there'll be, you know, smaller things for sale, mm-hmm. like postcards, greeting cards, that kind of thing.
Cool.
But I'm also going to branch out into clothing.
Oh, no kidding. With your images on
it? Whoa, wait a minute.
Clothing? I'm going to do like t-shirts.
Okay, so we're going to do t-shirts. So that's different than clothing.
Clothing, yeah. Well, it is clothing. But.
It is clothing.
It's clothing. Well, I was thinking like, you know, drawers with a picture of the Grand Tetons on it or something.
Well, I was thinking t-shirts and hats.
T-shirts and hats. So it's going to have your images on this.
My images on it with like Oklahoma City, kind of like a do my own design with it. And then so it can be Oklahoma City branded because a lot of people love to buy Oklahoma City branded stuff. So, or Oklahoma in general.
Yeah.
So it'll be, you know, I'll have like two or three designs to start out with, see how it works, and maybe put a couple hats on there and see how that works as well. So it won't just be stuff you put on your wall. So it'll try to hit all the price points.
Right.
Which will be really cool.
Because, spoken like a true businessman.
Yeah.
I'm going to get all the price points.
Because some of the big ones that I'm going to have in there will be like, you know, 30 by 45. They're going to be, you know, limited edition, one of eight, you know, so signed prints that are done on amazing paper that I've shown you guys today.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that is sexy paper right there.
Oh, my God. It's awesome. It just, the paper just looks like it's liquid. It's just unbelievable.
So, so what are we waiting on right now for your gallery to come up?
To build it.
Yes.
They've ran into some issues. Like the initial plan was to have just two buildings in general, have one big one in the front and one in the back. But they've revised their plans to have two separate ones, to have a courtyard in between them, which will be better for me because it'll bring more people in through the courtyard.
Yeah.
Right.
To see the backside.
Yeah.
So they had to redo all of the permits and all that kind of stuff. So it got pushed back to August is when they're going to think about breaking ground. So, and the plan was maybe around the first of the year. So
that's really quick.
Really
so
quick. They're going to break ground and move really quick as soon as they can get it going. Because they already have all the financing. So
they're just waiting to break ground.
They're just waiting to get all the permits and everything and just start.
So is that going to be the beginning of your transition from full-time employee to full-time photographer?
Correct.
Oh.
I'm really excited about it.
So does anybody at the workplace know anything about this?
Yeah, they know about the gallery.
Okay,
And they know that it'll eventually go that way. It'll probably be doing both for a while.
Yeah.
And the gallery will be open, you know, following my Facebook posts and Twitter posts and whatever as far as like when I'll be there. Obviously, I'll be there every Friday because of the first Friday, first Friday anyway.
Yeah.
And then the weekends I'll be there as well. So, but as soon as I'm able to make it the transition, I'll be able to take a lot more pictures, and then do the editing and printing and stuff like that at the studio.
Cool.
Which is what I'm.
So if you're gonna have different themes for every month to kind of keep this new, so people have something to look at. That's a lot more shooting on your schedule, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot more shooting on my schedule. So it'll get me out there and get me off my lazy butt to get out there and take some more pictures. Because sometimes I just want to sit at home, and I get home and I'm like, I don't want to take any pictures today.
Yeah.
I always want to take photos. I can't get my ass off the couch. That's what the problem is.
Yeah.
And try to find new places.
New stuff.
Because I've been to the bridge or the Overhosa Dam so many times.
Yeah.
I got it in every single, I don't know, sunset, sunrise, fog, snow, rain, everything, you know?
Right.
There's theme one.
Oh, there's theme one. I've got actually four that can go really well together, and it's all four seasons. It's really cool.
Very cool, yeah.
Well, Jim actually has one of those, and he actually gave me a small copy. It's my favorite print he's ever done.
Yeah, I gave him a 5x7 metal print for his desk.
Yeah. Yeah, appreciate that.
Yeah.
I think he got it as a freebie add-on big print.
No, it wasn't a freebie.
Well, you can get those freebies at the Imaging USA. I've got a bunch of those, too.
Oh, yes.
At Adorama Picks.
Yes.
At their booth there. You go there every day, and you'd get, spin the wheel, and I got, like, 4 metal prints and 2 acrylics.
Oh, you did good.
They're, like, 8x10s, you know?
I spun it. I got nothing.
Me, too.
We're just not lucky that way at all.
That's right. Oh, okay. I did win something today at the community coffee with the Northwest Oklahoma City Chamber.
You're going to make me put that on the show,
yes.
Aren't you? Okay, Northwest Oklahoma City Chamber.
I got a free blanket because they drew my business card out of the hat, if you will.
A free blanket?
Yeah, it's a little like a plush, some kind of blanket. I don't know.
Maybe you should just leave that in the car.
I was just, well, maybe.
I mean, just as an emergency type thing.
Sure, because it's so hot outside.
You want to hear something funny, though?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So we were at Imaging, in January.
Yeah.
And I brought my husband. And he actually went to a couple classes, too. Just some of the business classes.
Yeah.
Just because it might be good for him, whatever. He's just bored, whatever. Anyway, so, we go into the expo area, and they get the free popcorn.
Yeah.
And it was given out by Zenfolio.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
He won 10 free years of Zenfolio.
Oh, 10 free years?
Shut up.
So now I have Zenfolio as well, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That is insane.
It was crazy. I was like, I can't believe you won it of all the people.
Yeah, exactly.
10 free years. Dude, that's like over $2,000.
Oh, isn't it like $150 a year?
Yeah, $150 a year.
Yeah.
10 years. Talking $1,500.
Yeah.
12. Yeah. $1,750. Yeah, about $1,750. $2,000.
That was a nice little get.
That's pretty awesome. Oh, Jim is yawning over here. It must be time to wrap this up.
And I just drank a Red Bull, too. So.
Yeah, that doesn't work for you anymore.
No, it
so
doesn't.
So for photographers that are out there right now, Eric,
mm-hmm.
that are looking to go that route as an artist.
Yes.
Okay, because there's a lot of people that jump on the wedding bandwagon or the baby photography.
I never really did like the – I've done 3 weddings, and I'm like –
Not
it's
your
just
thing.
Not my thing.
Not your thing.
Yeah.
So for the people out there that do want to do the artistic route, what kind of advice can you give them?
Stick with it. That's the only thing I can really say, because it can be, obviously you want it to succeed immediately, but it's not going to happen. It's very rare where you're going to have an image and it's just going to go viral and all of a sudden, oh my God, everybody loves your stuff. It doesn't happen to everybody.
It is very hard to sell art.
It is very hard.
So,
like I said, you just got to stick with it and just keep perfecting what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And really love what you do, because that's the only way that you're going to really want to perfect it. And I'm talking like you're looking at an image and then you're like, how can I make this image even better? And there's like I look at some of the stuff that I took 5 years ago and I'm like, oh, it looks terrible. But then when I re-edit it, it looks amazing now.
Mm-hmm.
Because the composition was good, but my editing skills were terrible back
exactly.
then.
Exactly. Yeah.
Dude, and so, I know what you mean.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I go back all the time and look at my old archives, and I keep going through when I'm bored sometimes, and I'll go through, and I'm like, oh, that was a good picture.
Yeah.
Why didn't I edit that one?
I've done that.
And I'll do that, too. And so I'll re-edit a picture, and I'm like, oh, that looks so much better now.
Right.
So don't throw away any of your old images. Always keep them. Obviously, get rid of the junk. As far as it's really bad.
Yeah.
But if it's a decent image, you can pretty much tell. But just don't get rid of it, even if you don't edit it.
Right.
Because you might come back a year later and be like, oh.
And have different editing skills.
Different editing skills and different viewpoint.
That's what I was going to say.
From what
you
look at, because
exactly.
you can go look at other people's images or art in general. Like in obviously, you need to look at not just
photographs.
You need to look at paintings.
Yeah.
Sculptures, all that kind of stuff to really kind of make your own style.
Right.
Just keep perfecting it.
Don't give up. I mean, because, success isn't overnight.
No, it's not.
I mean, you've been doing this since 2001 is when you got the bug. So we're talking 15 years before you reach that point to where you get into a gallery.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time. If I told other photographers, like, okay, hey, you want to do this? Great. 15 years from now, you're going to open a gallery. They're like, no, I'll open up one next year. And that's just not feasible.
It's not feasible. Not for everybody. I'm not. There's going to be those rare people that are just naturally talented and they're just really good at everything, and you're just like, they just piss you off.
Exactly. You're exactly right.
You just want to kill those people.
Yeah.
And they're just, or they're just lucky.
Well,
yeah,
and
lucky.
There's like, and you're like, and you're also looking at some of the people's art, and you're like, I think mine's better.
Yes.
But you can't, but you really can't be, you can't compare yourself to others. That's mm-hmm. another thing too. Because you start doing that, you're going to start looking down on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you really have to just really love what you're doing and try to make sure everybody else loves it too.
Well, and I was going to say about the 15 years, I mean, you've been working a day job. So mm-hmm. it may have been a little faster had you been full time.
Correct.
But
not everybody's in that position
true.
To do that.
Right.
Because especially in the type of line that I do, it's not as steady as like a wedding. Like I can't book, you know, galleries and make sure everybody sells. Like even if I sell one image, it's as much as people make on a wedding sometimes.
Yeah.
But I may only sell two of those a year.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, like the big packages like I've done, I've got eight in St. Anthony's right now. They just did a new edition over there,
right?
So I have eight images that just went up over there, huge ones, and I haven't seen them up yet. I haven't been over there. They just went up like last week. So
wow,
I haven't been over there to check out where they're actually located.
That's awesome.
Yet. But they were on a time crunch, so I didn't actually get to use my really good paper that I wanted to use on them.
Oh,
because it takes a little longer from the lab, and they're like, we need these like in 4 days, and I was like. It's going to take a little bit longer for that. So they actually, you know, they paid extra to get them
faster,
you know, because it's just crazy.
Because it costed you more.
Oh, yeah.
To...
It cost me double.
Yeah.
To double the processing time, it actually cost double the price.
Whoa.
On it. I was like, this is crazy. And we're talking like a matter of 2 days. But they needed it fast. So yeah.
That's true. You can have, quality... time or cost. You can have any three of those or any two of those, but not all three.
Correct.
And that's true. If you want that thing done quick, you have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is... What am I listening to?
There's some elevator music going on.
That sounds like some kind of soap opera, like the
it
Young
does.
And the Restless.
It does, it does, yeah.
Welcome to Young and the Restless with Jim Felder. All right, well, let's go ahead and get ready to wrap this up. So let's find a Bazinga question for our guest. So this comes from, you know where this came from? You're going to be surprised.
I think I know.
You don't. This actually came from a girl named Wanda.
Oh, yeah?
Wanda sent us an email and wanted to say, hey, for the Bazinga question, can you ask one of your guests, obviously you're going to be it.
I'm scared.
Did you have a childhood nickname? And what was it and why you liked it or did not like it?
Well, I wouldn't say I had a childhood nickname because I didn't really have one. But I had one in the military.
Oh, please, dude.
It was really kind of funny.
I didn't even know you were in the military.
I was in the Air Force for 6 years.
Hey, dude, come on. That's why we connect.
Wow.
That's how I came down here.
Yeah.
Was that Tinker? Cool. But anyway, so they all, you know, I had a really short haircut at the time and it's blonde. So they called me Butters. From South Park.
That's funny.
Butters. I was Butters for about 3 years in the military.
Did you do IT in the military too?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, see, that's pretty awesome stuff. See, you could have done that, Jim. You could have been in the military.
I could have, but I didn't. So, you know what? You want to know?
That was quick. We went through that one really quick, didn't we?
I wish I had, but anyway. So, do you want to know what my nickname was when I was a kid?
It wasn't Butters.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Nee-wee.
Nee-wee?
Yeah.
Why Nee-wee?
I don't know. It was my oldest brother's nickname to me. He still calls me that sometimes. Nee-wee.
That's funny. I didn't have a nickname as a child. I got a nickname later on due to a CB handle that carried over to be my flight call on the Air Force. It was kind of cool. My call sign. But before that, okay, well, I'll tell you mine. Which drives me crazy because I'm a junior, so I'm a Robert Jr. My entire family calls me Little Bobby. Even
Little
today,
Bobby.
At 53, I am Little Bobby. And I liked it when my kids, my stepkids,
mm-hmm.
okay, would call me RT for Robert Trawick. It was kind of a cool little nickname. Like, I'm an older guy, like, hey, RT, hey, RT. And it was kind of cool, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And then we went and visited my family, and my family calls me Bobby. So then everybody, including my current wife, calls me Bobby, and it just drives me literally through the freaking wall.
I gotta remember to call you that. So
yeah, yeah, dude. It just like seriously at the back of my neck crawls. It's like,
what the hell, Bobby?
What the hell, Bobby? What the hell? Well, I just figured that, you know, hey, Bobby's like, you know, you're like, you know, like you're redneck at 20, you know, and then.
Would you prefer Rob?
I think Rob is cool. My family hates it. Like when people like do Rob on Facebook, it's like, hey, Rob. They're like, hey, who's Rob? When did you become Rob? I'm like, it's better than little Bobby.
Yeah. So what was your nickname?
My nickname was the Dixie Kid.
Dixie Kid. So, yes. So that's, I've heard this story before, but it was just Dixie, right?
Right. So it got shortened to Dixie.
Yeah.
During a rodeo in Sykeston, Missouri. So with the JC Rodeo, I rode saddle bronc for some time.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to ask me if I was any good. The answer to that question is hell no. That's why I did not continue doing it. It was a crazy period of my life. So they had, this is, we're talking 1982, long, long time ago. And I was just joining the military. And, of course, you know, back then you really couldn't do any crap like that. So mm-hmm. I was kind of doing this illegally. Because if I would have broke some ribs or anything, you know, I had the government would have had to fix me back up. And they mm-hmm. don't like to do that kind of crap. So they had a scoreboard that would kind of like roll out. And everybody had like a nickname. Okay? You know, you had John Nicky McNeil or whatever the case may be. So I got there and they had the little thing like, do you have a nickname, preferred surname, whatever. So I just put on their Dixie Kid, Trawick. Well, I'm riding, so I'm focusing, okay? The gate yanks open. I don't even notice that the scoreboard rolls as I'm coming out and the announcer's talking and it basically freezes at like Robert Dixie and like TR. I don't even know how much of my last name it got on there. So I actually came in third. I had a pretty good ride. So I get off, you're banged up, okay, a little bit. Your brains are completely shot. And I'm walking out behind the chutes, and I got this kid comes up and says, oh, that was a great ride, Mr. Dixie, because they thought Dixie was my last name.
Oh.
So then it stuck with all the guys in the freaking rodeos. They're like, oh, Dixie, they're a boy with the girl's name. So I got ragged a lot. Oh, you ride like a girl. Oh, my God, look at him walk with his feet open. He walks like a girl. And that shit just carried on through my military career. In fact, I think there's a lot of people that never even realized I had a first name of Robert. I have trophies that I won in the military that say Dixie on it. So, yeah, it's kind of crazy. We're not going to go into my arrest record that has the wrong name on it either.
Yeah.
Because you know how it is in the military, being arrested is completely different than
oh, yeah.
in the outside.
Yeah.
Okay, being arrested and apprehended, two different things. Arrest, they just walk up and say, Sergeant Trawick, you're under arrest. And that just means you have to follow their orders from now on.
Really?
Yeah. Apprehended is where they actually put you in freaking handcuffs. I technically wow. have not been apprehended. I was close when I was wheeled in a chainsaw. That was wife number three. And I walked in and wanted to know, in the German shrunk, did she want the top or the bottom of the German shrunk? And I was working halfway through the piece with the chainsaw. Before she called the cops. Anyway, that's a whole different story. We got way off the bandwagon on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
But so that was pretty good.
We're at 58 minutes. We're about to knock this thing out of the park.
I think it's pretty awesome. I mean, we originally started this wanting to do 20 minutes, but
yeah.
you and I just talk way too damn much. And we have such interesting guests.
Well, thank
yeah,
you.
That's right.
Which is really awesome.
I really enjoyed it. It was fun.
Yeah, I'm glad we finally got you on here because... Yeah. Rocky was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, cool. Rocky is really, really cool. So I'm kind of looking forward to this happening, and maybe we can get an interview with you guys both from the new... Now, is he going to be part of the studio?
No.
So he's not going to be in the freaking gallery at all. He's not even going to... Nothing.
Nothing.
This is all your deal.
All my deal.
Well, that's okay. When you open it, maybe we can be there for the opening party.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I'll definitely have you guys
yeah,
there.
That would
sure.
be...
Man, that would be awesome. We'll just leave the mics on
yeah.
and just have a live mic like we did that last night at Imaging.
Yeah.
And just we'll just have people come over and like, hey, what do you think of Eric's work? Oh, it's so sexy.
It'll be fun. It'll be a really good party.
You should do a live Facebook thing.
Oh, definitely.
You know?
Definitely.
Maybe
you can do a live thing with GoPros, right?
Yes.
I think you can do it live with GoPro now.
You did that. Yes. With a wedding.
Yes. You have to do it with the GoPro hooked up to your phone.
Yeah.
And that's how the feed comes from the GoPro to your phone that goes live to Facebook.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's some ways to
have
do
one of those up in the...
Yeah.
He's an IT guy. He knows about this crap more than we do. We need to ask him questions.
Right.
Because that would be awesome. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and get on out of here. So, you ready to take us out there, Jim?
Bye.
Really? Are you going to do the whole thing with the Photobomb podcast? And hi, I'm Jim Felder. You can find me at jimfelder.com. This is Robert Trawick. Oh. You can find me at trawickimages.com.
Yeah.
Eric. Eric's at ericbloomers.com.
Spell it for us.
B-L-O-E-M-E-R-S.
OU812. All right. It was great talking to you. We will see you soon.
Visit our world headquarters at photofaxpodcast.com.